That was lame. One more time.
It's fine. Did it give you a waveform?
I don't know, bitch. I wasn't looking at that part.
Okay, first of all, we gotta stop calling each other bitches and whores. Tina Fey told us that 20 years ago. Also, the only thing I care about the Mean Girls musical movie is that Tim Meadows is in it. Because being an adult is knowing that Tim Meadows was the funniest part of Mean Girls.
They're making a movie musical of it?
Yeah.
No comment.
Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey!
I want to see the Jesus musical.
What's
the new Jesus musical that's out with Antonio Banderas?
It's a movie? That's a musical?
Yeah. Uh-huh. About Jesus.
I mean, I guess it's a little closer to what Jesus looked like. I mean, Antonio Banderas is a little brown.
I don't know who he plays, but I just looked at the poster and it's like the lightest shade of brown person that they could possibly get at Central Casting.
I'm pretty sure Antonio Banderas doesn't do Central Casting. Welcome, everybody, old and new, to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey, the podcast where Tony Award winner Daisy Egan and...
you.
Real life Muppet. Just me, Ellen Marsh, will be recapping our favorite reality show that we love to hate, Love is Blind. Daisy, who would have thought we just did this one-off of season 5, and we gotta give the people what they want.
That's precisely what I was gonna say. This is what they've been clamoring for.
Clamoring.
This is what they've been spending their $5 on.
There was a letter campaign. Mm-hmm. I had like 11,000.
Okay, so question. When I'm editing this, I am not 100% sure about how your comedy works. And now am I supposed to cut the fa, the te, the tu, the t, or was
no,
that part of your
that's
setup?
That's part of the joke.
Sometimes when I'm editing, I'm like, did she stammer on purpose? Or is she going to yell at me if I cut this?
That's
out.
The beauty of my comedy is you don't really know if it's comedy or I'm stupid.
That's, wow, you nailed it.
Yeah. So it's like, but I do it with such conviction
you do.
That I'm going to make you feel stupid and feel like you missed something.
Yeah, it's like a cult leader, you know. They just spout nonsense, but they do it with such conviction that you're like, I guess this is true.
They must know what they're talking about because,
yeah.
But we are who I just said we are, and we are doing the podcast that I just said we were doing. You all, we are starting from season one, and like all sagas and epic stories, there has to be a beginning. We are here on the inaugural voyage of the Love Boat / Titanic.
Oh my God, should we do the Love Boat next?
That's honestly, thank you for picking up what I was putting down, because that is true. Because listen, if Daisy and I are going down in a bag of on fire trash. You all are coming with us.
You sure are. There's no getting out of this now.
I'm so happy you all are here for this emotional mayhem. That is Love is Blind season one. So before we jump in, Daisy, what are you feeling? Because like we have watched this whole series. Obviously, this was years ago. This was like pre-pandemic.
No, this came out right as shutdown happened. It was
You're right.
They could not. You know what? When they say pandemic, this is what they meant. Netflix planned the pandemic so that they could put the show out when everybody was on lockdown.
And Cheer.
Right.
Do you remember that show, Cheer?
No, and I love cheerleading.
You didn't see that show?
Oh, I did. Did they only do one season, though?
I think they did two because literally the most beloved character went to jail for sexual assault.
It was
a big, big bummer. He was like, I don't know all the ins and outs, so don't quote me, but it was that guy Jerry that everybody loved, who was the sweetest. We wanted him to make Matt so bad, and then he was like DMing young boys.
No.
Yeah. I think he went to jail for something like 12 years. Don't quote me on it, but it was a bummer. Yeah. But thank you for letting me bring down the room.
Oh, I hate that so much.
So we are on a rewatch, but there might be some people out there that are totally new to this.
We're gonna have to come at it like fresh babes in the woods.
Okay, so Are you okay?
No, I'm dying.
Do you need a lozenge?
No, go ahead.
So are we making the decision to watch this like new eyes, or are we going to say like, but we know they end up together, like we're doing this for the people. So how are we approaching it?
I think that we shouldn't do spoilers, but you know, okay. It's hard. It's hard to be like, oh, they, you know, whatever it is without giving away that we know what the fuck, but they know that we know and we know that they know.
They know that we know. But some of this I don't even remember. I feel like I am watching it for the first time.
Ellen, we have another repeat customer.
I am so excited. Well, I feel like Jay and L Stitching is more of a friend than anything, because J&L Stitching has done all of our personalized embroidery work over at I Think Not. But here's the thing. So due to the nature of custom embroidery, they don't have a traditional website.
Yeah.
But you can check out their stuff online and they will take orders however you want. You can swing by, send them an email. You can send them a message on Facebook, IG, however you want to get in touch with them. And I will tell you, Jay is so communicative. He is the sweetest DB ever.
We love a nice small business owner. J&L Stitching offers all types of custom embroidery. It doesn't matter. You've got hats, they'll fucking embroider that shit. You've got sweaters, they're going to embroider that. You got a fucking robe, forget it. They're going to embroider that shit.
You want to put anything on it? You want to put your name on it? Put your name on it.
Listen, you want a hat? You want two scissors? Scissoring? Get it.
Yes, scissor hat? You want something to say, shut the fuck up, I'm listening to my favorite podcast, Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey, on it? It's long, but he'll do it.
He'll do it. It might take up the whole sweater, but he'll do it.
Whatever, but here's the good news. It's sweater weather.
It's sweater weather.
I actually love embroidery. Yeah. I love it for gifts, for weddings, for babies. You can also do it for company apparel or even merch.
That's right. It's perfect for gifts. And you know, gift-giving season is coming up.
And if you mention Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey, you will get 10% off your order. They ship anywhere in the U.S. You can find them at JL Stitching Co. on Facebook and Instagram.
And listen, if you don't need anything embroidered, the best, next best thing that you can do for Jay is to just head over to Yelp and Google and give him some good reviews, just to draw people to his business. If you don't need embroidery, send somebody who does.
I will tell you, I have firsthand experience with J&L Stitching. They are kind, they are efficient, the work is impeccable. So if you have gotten any of our merch from ITN, know that J&L did all of the personalizing on it. So please head on over if you need anything. Their rates are so reasonable. So please check it out and please support all of our small businesses that are supporting us.
And don't forget, our prices are going to go up soon. So if you want to advertise with us here at Shut the Fuck Up, you better fucking hurry.
Yeah, because this is going to be $1 million, $1 billion.
That's right. That's so much money.
When I was rewatching this episode and the first I love you happened, I gasped. I was in my kitchen cooking and I was like,
oh, why?
I'd forgotten it. I couldn't believe it happened so in the first episode, but it was so sweet. I was just like, we were all so innocent back then.
Oh, if we could all go back to our naive 2020 selves. So let's jump right in.
Yeah, let's do it.
The fun part about this is that these people really were blind. They had no idea what the show was.
Right.
They had no idea how big the show was going to be. And we're kind of like along for this journey, not knowing what's going to happen. They didn't know one step from the next. I mean, we know the formula now, but it's always kind of fun with the first ones. They're sort of like the guinea pigs, and it's kind of exciting.
I agree. And not just the contestants, but even like you can tell, like production, the producers, like we're all just going, I don't know. Let's see. It starts off very like Bachelor-esque, like with them all in the cars, like going to the wherever they're shooting. And they're all like looking pensively out the window of their car. And I don't know if you caught this, but they open with this, with them in the cars looking out the windows. And then they'll cut to that person's confessional. So they start with like Mark looking out the window and they cut to his confessional. It's about using dating apps, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut to a woman that we will come to know as Diamond looking out the window, but then we cut to a confessional of a completely different black woman. Just shh. Maybe they won't notice.
So we see them enter the living quarters, which, again, we're all just seeing and experiencing for the first time. And we meet Lauren in her confessional, who's 32, and she's like, listen, when my 95-year-old ass tits are dusting the floor. And then Lauren says,
we're 95 years old. My boobs might be like dragging on the floor, but I need you to love my saggy boobs.
I think we should all lead with that.
I agree. I love her.
Like, everything is together right now, but shit can go south real, real fast.
Yeah, you better love me when my ears are the size of my entire head and hair is coming out of them and I fart every time I breathe. Like, yeah. It gets ugly.
A little bit of pee-pee comes out if you laugh too hard or you sneeze.
A little bit of pee-pee. If you sneeze twice, forget it.
Yeah, it's done. You got to change.
Yeah.
You got to bring a spare pair of panties.
Those women looked like they had just gone on a shopping spree at Forever 21.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like it was that long ago, but boy, the fashion.
Oh my God, the fashion. But also we see this on reality TV. Like when you look at old Bachelor episodes, those women were wearing express dresses and L'Oreal pressed powder. And it's like with each evolution of the season, everyone has a reckoning with those HD cameras because you never see anyone in less than heightened glam now. And everyone is a lot more sort of like maybe not having pressed powder all the time, mm-hmm. maybe a shiny forehead. But we see how these people didn't realize how close those cameras get.
Yeah, I think the same thing happened on The Bachelor, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so we go from Lauren and her 95-year-old boobs that are dragging on the ground, and we meet Carlton.
Mm-hmm.
He is a 34-year-old social media marketer or something.
Which to me just means he has like an affiliate yeah. link on Amazon or something, and he's like, click to buy my sweater. Or something like that.
Yeah. Carlton has a very high opinion of himself. He grew up wanting to be like Hugh Hefner. Pick of the litter, he says.
Do you know how deeply problematic Hugh Hefner was? Have you ever listened to that podcast, Girls Next Level?
No.
So it's two of his girlfriends, Holly and Bridget. And the stories that they tell, he was so controlling. They had a curfew. He controlled their money, how they spent their money, what they wore. He would record them without consent. Hugh Hefner is not someone you really want to emulate.
No.
Mm-mm. My man.
I mean, I'm not surprised at all. That's not a good look. But now he's ready for a wife, he says. He tells us, I'm ready. I'm ready for a wife. And then our favorite two.
Daisy, when you say do you think about how you're going to have to edit that later?
Mm-hmm. It is also, it's part of my comedy, but I don't mind that it gets cut out. So our favorite two people then show up.
Oh, Christ, I don't have the strength. And we get the pull quote of the century.
What was it?
Obviously, I'm Nick Lachey.
No, I get it. Nick Lachey is not known for his ha-has. He's not funny. He's probably never gone viral. This is probably the first viral thing he's ever done. But he is going to beat this joke into... Let it go.
Let it go.
Nick Lachey, number one, obviously, shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're good with letting this joke go now, where it's yeah. tapped out.
We got it. We got yeah. it. I think I blacked out for that part. Vanessa Lachey is wearing a tablecloth from the 99-cent store, fashioned mm-hmm. into a dress.
Right. And in subsequent seasons, we're going to see her fashion game elevate a little bit.
So, you know, they let the contestants know, they start with the women, they let them know that they're going to be making the biggest decision of their lives.
Well, that's because everyone's goal is and should be to get married.
Yes. What else is there, you know?
Just go out there, get in a relationship, find a partner,
right.
and that's it. Game's over. What else is there? What if someone's listening for the first time and they're like, can I get my $5 back? Honestly, feminism be damned. Just get married. Just, it's so much easier.
So then we meet Jessica. Woof. Jessica is 34 and she's a regional manager?
Yep. not a manager. A regional manager could be a Bath & Body Works, could be a Fortune 500 club. Who's to say? We're just along for the ride.
Nobody knows. Spoiler, Jessica is, to me, she's the Stacy of season one. Maybe just in voice and sort of, you know, couldn't pick them out of a lineup kind of thing.
Jessica is going to come to be kind of the butt of a lot of jokes, and she's going to be compared to kind of every awful woman who talks in a baby voice.
One of my best friends, when she hears that voice, she says, "What happened to you when you were 7?
Right.
Do you think that's like a stunted Arrested Development thing from, like, you know, abuse?
This is going to sound like a weird question, but go with me. Have you caught up with Paris Hilton lately?
I sure have not.
Yeah, a question you never thought I would ask you. But there's actually like a whole science behind that baby voice. Like if you think of Britney Spears, Paris Hilton, Pam Anderson, like if you think about women who actually have to dumb themselves down to be attractive, to be like more palatable, raising their voice and making it easy to digest. And I almost think it becomes habitual. Like Britney Spears talks about how she turned on that voice. And I think a lot of women to do it to placate men and to see less intimidating.
Oh, God.
Which is crazy, but yeah. I get it. And it comes along with everything. It comes along with twirling your hair and kind of like hunching your shoulders. And it kind of like just is women making themselves less
right.
to be less threatening to men.
Yeah.
Paris Hilton talked about it in an interview, and she's sort of talking in her normal big girl voice.
Yeah. My son, I was watching this with him in the room because I'm a great parent.
Yeah.
And when Jessica was talking, he said, "She sounds like Britney Spears." And I was like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah, Britney Spears talks about it in her book. But guess what? It fucking works, because all the men in the pod season after season are like, "I like your voice." Now, thank you. And on first watch, I absolutely wanted to throw a broomstick at Jessica and I wanted her to shut up. And now I kind of feel bad for her. I don't know.
I definitely feel bad for her, but like, you know.
I
don't know. At some point, it's like you fucking dug your own hole. Somebody posted a picture of strawberry shortcake throughout the years. And, you know, in the 70s and 80s, she's just this like cute, you know, girl in overalls. And she's like standing with her arm, you know, in the sort of Wonder Woman pose at one point. And then in the 90s, she's like skinnier and she's holding this basket and she's like sort of looking over her shoulder in this like sort of shy, coquettish way.
Stop.
Yeah.
We sexualized strawberry shortcake? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, there's this great thing going around about like Barney, and there was a plastic surgeon talking about the new Barney and like what plastic surgery he would have had to have gotten to look the way he does.
I want to say that.
And then Jessica says, "If I walk away engaged, it'll be with someone I've never seen."
Way to elevator pitch. Elevator pitch the show.
Yeah, that is the entire premise. Yeah. So, good job.
I want the most perfect marriage.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's 34. Yeah. So the clock is ticking because she really wants cats.
Yeah. And so it's day one and they head to the pods and they're kind of all looking around like, whoa, this is so cool.
Right.
Like we said before, every other season has a leg up. They at least know what to expect.
Absolutely. And I wrote the first date that we see is between Stacy and Mark. But of course, I meant Jessica.
I'm just oh, that's rich.
Realizing.
Well, and speaking of rich, Jessica has a list of criteria from age to money to status to jobs. But she's like, it hasn't worked out that well for me.
I have to lower my standards.
Now, I don't know if you know this, Daisy, but I'm known in a lot of circles as sort of a Buddha.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like a little loud Italian Buddha.
Huh.
Yeah, a lot of people say it. So I'm just going to impart some of that wisdom. Nobody is going to tick off every box.
No.
No one's going to even come close. Find the person who annoys you the least.
The least.
Not who doesn't annoy you, because that's not going to happen. It's somebody who you can stand to be annoyed with the least amount.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is the number one thing that your partner does that annoys you?
I wouldn't even know where to start. I bought him a nose hair trimmer for Christmas one year.
Well, just let's stop there because that's disgusting.
I know.
Yeah.
It really is.
Okay. So what is the number one thing that you noticed that's a difference, like, from the jump? What is the thing that jumps out at you?
Oh, one of the first things I noticed is that they're not all from the same city.
Yes, actually, I did notice that. I didn't even remember that because that adds a whole other level of complexity. Like,
yes.
Do you want to move to the south? Do you want to move to the north?
Yeah.
Because in subsequent seasons, they've always done it by city. Seattle, Houston, yeah. Dallas. Yeah.
I don't know what else.
The thing I noticed right away is nobody is drinking from the golden goblets.
Oh, shit. You're right.
They are drinking from regular glasses, and that's probably how they found out real quick that they were going to have continuity issues.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, oh, I didn't even remember we didn't have the golden goblets.
Didn't even cross my mind. It's so small.
It's so small and so cute and so smooth. Nary a wrinkle.
Jessica and Mark start to get to know each other. Mark lets her know that he's first generation Mexican American. He's 24, which is a really big deal because Stacy is
old as dirt.
And
you did it again. Her name is Jessica. But oh my gosh, a mama's boy. Oh, there is nothing I love more than a man who has another woman in his life that I will never stack up against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, make the panties drop.
I love it.
A mama's boy. Bring him here. Fellas, line up. Yeah. Dreams can come true, Daisy.
My mom will be here once a week at least. She's going to come sit for meals.
Love
She's going to have a lot to say about our kids and our house and our decorating style and what we eat and what we wear and what we drive. But it's so great because we have a great relationship.
Sounds so exciting. Love a mama's boy. Now, Jessica says she's never dated anyone younger, but they are both from Illinois.
Yeah.
They're Illinoisanders. And because they are from Illinois, they both love the Cubs and they bond over that. And as a Cougar, I gotta say, I love Cubs.
Oh, nice. Well, Mark loves Cubs too, apparently. But also, Jessica makes the best Italian beef. Ellen, do you like Italian beef?
Actually, shock and surprise to many, I actually don't like my beef to be Italian because I find Italian beef to be misogynistic. Did you know that about me? Even though I'm Italian, I really don't like Italian men.
That's racist.
I know.
That's like really internalized Italiophobia.
I know. I am racist against my own. I meet a guy and the minute he tells me his name is Anthony or Joey, I'm like, bye, Anthony.
Ciao. Ciao, Anthony.
It's just, I know what they're like. They're bossy and alpha and, but also remember that they're not white.
Correct. So you're allowed. Wait a minute.
Ask any Italian. They will tell you.
Lauren's mom wants her to start having babies. Yesterday.
Yeah, we love that. Her mom is like, your eggs are shriveling up.
She calls her every week and says, when are you having babies?
Also, I think I know the answer to this, but did you want kids before you had Monty?
No.
Yeah, I thought I remembered that.
No, I had no desire.
Yeah. I mean, do you still want Monty?
No. Nothing has changed in the 10 and a half years. No, and I also didn't know I was pregnant for 10 and a half weeks. I guess I've said that, but...
Right. So you're like, well, I guess I'm doing this now, right?
Yeah, no, I didn't. I was 32. 34 is really not that old, yeah.
So now we get a montage of all the different introductions and where everyone is from.
It's like the first season of Married at First Sight.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were from everywhere.
Yeah.
That was a huge issue. Plus, they didn't give them an apartment to live in the beginning. So all that ended up changing in subsequent seasons. They were like, oh, we have to at least set them up partially for success. Because asking somebody to move across the country right out of the gate is a lot of stress on a relationship.
Right. And we meet Cameron, and Cameron is from Maine, and he's a scientist.
Yeah.
And they are from all over.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cameron, I don't know if I've mentioned this. Cameron is so my type. He's so nerdy, cute. I love a nerd.
Cameron is so sweet. He's so nerdy. Yeah, he's nerdy, but he also has a little, it's weird because he's from Maine, but he's
a nerd, but he's got swagger.
He does.
Yeah.
I can tell you from what I know about Maine, this man has never seen a black person in his life.
No, actually, it came out later in episodes that he's actually dated black women. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's his thing, but he did date black women in the past.
Oh, well, there's me being reverse racist.
Yeah, look at you. He says he's introverted, but can be extroverted. And basically, Lauren, at a separate time, says the same thing. What are you, Daisy?
I think I was trying to be an extrovert for most of my life.
Oh.
And it was so exhausting that now I'm just an introvert.
Interesting. Okay, same.
Yeah, really?
Joey and I both kind of say we're extroverted introverts.
I was going to say,
You know Joey Taranto, my partner from my other podcast, I Think Not, found anywhere you listen to your podcasts.
Never heard of it. I mean, I'm the same, but that's only because I'm forced to be in extroverted situations. And then I'm just totally depleted.
And you're a cunt.
100%.
So Cameron and Lauren are bonding the shit out of this. They both love to cook, and they're just hitting it off. And then we get this sort of montage of, silly questions from people I promise you we will never see again. Yeah. It's like, wait, who was that guy? I didn't realize there was a Sherpa on this show or whatever. And we meet Amber, who's 26, from Augusta, Georgia. And I wrote this in my notes. I was like, I guess I didn't remember that if these people hit it off, they all have to relocate. I guess I forgot about that. And she's an ex-tank mechanic. Tank, I don't know, G.I. Joe. I mean, I know what a tank is and I know what a mechanic is, but I guess she fixed tanks or something?
Yeah, I mean, she served in the military for 8 years. I have some opinions about Amber.
Okay, go. I want to hear them all.
You know, I saw her, I remember this from the first watch through and this time as well, and I pinned her immediately. I knew who she was instantly. I lived with this girl.
Yeah.
She's people are always really surprised that I can hold an intellectual conversation because I'm so pretty. And I'm like, oh, okay. Listen, I think all people are beautiful, but I don't, come on. You're pretty basic. Not somebody that I would stop my gaze on in a crowd. She, you know, this girl, I just called her a girl. This woman is basic and she really thinks she's extra, but she is basic as fuck. She is not the sharpest cookie in the tool shed. You know, she's like a guy's girl, you know? She was really excited when the NFL put out a line specifically for women so that she could wear her jersey, but show her titties. And while she hung out with the guys on Sunday eating wings, I don't have a lot of patience.
I would actually love to see a study on women who spend so much time in the military. She was in the military for 8 years. I would love to see a study on how women grow and evolve and change over time when they're in such a male-dominated place like the armed forces.
Mm-hmm.
Can somebody do that study? I do way too much research on shit that doesn't need to be research. Can you just do it and FaceTime me and then
get back to us?
Yeah. Okay, so now we're with Jessica and Barnett, and she opens the door and she goes, hello.
Oh my God, I just made myself exhausted.
And if you are a major fan, you will know that that sound will be used on subsequent seasons. So we're getting an origin story of the annoying hello, which will be used on subsequent ads for Love is Blind. I was like, the origin of the annoying hello.
Oh, Ellen.
And then Barnett says, what's the weirdest thing about you? And she's like, I love sports. Because I'm not a normal girl. I'm a cool girl.
Ellen, what is the weirdest thing about you?
Probably that people don't know that I'm a research nerd. Uh-huh. I'm actually a nerd for knowledge if I don't know something. I don't know a lot of things, but I'll find out a lot of things.
Uh-huh.
I don't think people would peg me as somebody who would really sit and research stuff. I think.
Listen, when she said that the weirdest thing about her was that she was a guy's girl, a tomboy, I was like, I would never make it on this show because I'd be like, oh, you know, sometimes I like the smell of my own farts.
Mm-hmm. Say more.
I pick my toes compulsively when I watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when I'm pooping, I have this feeling that I'm like, what if I'm actually in a coma and I'm just dreaming all of this and right now I'm pooping in my coma?
One second. If you could just 1 second. Hey, Amber. Hey, it's Ellen. No. Yeah, I'm on with Daisy. It's on mute. Do you know how fucking weird Daisy is? Yeah. No, she thinks when she poops, she's in a coma. Okay, call me back.
Hey, Ellen.
I was calling Amber Hunt. What's up?
No, I know. I could hear it.
What did you hear?
That you think I'm weird because I think I'm in a coma when I'm pooping.
So then Barnett says...
Oh, wait. I also want to say something about Barnett because we haven't started talking about what a douche tool this guy is.
He is everything that is wrong
yes.
with men
yes.
in one person. Go ahead.
Barnett is a negger. He is the kind of guy who will be like, oh, is that how your face always looked? No, I'm just kidding. And here's the deal. You know you're not funny if you always have to say, I'm just kidding, after your quote unquote punchline. And he does it constantly. Amber asks him, do you have any kids? And he says, not that I know of.
So funny.
I know we've canceled Ellen for many, many reasons, but one of her best jokes is when people say, just kidding. She's always like, well, then you don't know how to joke, right? Because we should both be laughing.
Yeah.
Then you don't know how to do that.
Yeah, don't do that. Barnett wants to make sure that a girl can hang with his jokes. That is his criteria. He wants to make sure a girl can hang with his jokes. And he says, you know, I make a joke and a girl laughs. And I'm like, oh, now she's my number one.
He is so deeply insecure. He is everything that is wrong with men. Also, he turns everything into like sexual jokes.
Oh,
very. That's what she said.
Yeah. Jessica asks him if he likes sports. He's like, no, I don't like sports. No, just kidding. He played baseball. She says, what position did he play? And he said, what's my favorite position? oh, no, I'm just kidding. And her response to that quote unquote joke is, that was amazing. I love that.
Wait, that is my favorite thing. Like, he'll be like, I breathe air. She's like, I love that. I eat lettuce. I love that. I like money. I love that.
Oh, what's my favorite position? Is that what you're asking? Oh, just kidding.
Oh, my God. That was amazing.
It's so, they really are exemplary examples. Do you see what I did there?
Oh.
Of what not to be. But also, I do believe that's just kind of like systemic.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to laugh at his bad jokes, and you're supposed to be a little bit gross. And you know what women love? They love when you make fun of them a little bit, because that means you like them.
Oh, he is such a negger. It's so disgusting. Please understand that I'm saying negger.
Yeah.
N-E-G-G-E-R. And then in a confessional, Jessica says she really likes the vibe that he's a player.
It's so weird.
The bar is low.
It's also low. I think that the pandering, like, why do we feel like we have to pander to men? Like, we think that embracing their comedy or lack thereof is in some way bolstering their ego, when really, actually, we're just like accepting subpar behavior.
Yeah. The number of men whose shitty jokes I laughed at in my 20s at bars.
Daisy, I still catch myself doing that. You know why? It's
yeah.
not because I'm flirting. I don't ever want to hurt someone's feelings.
Yeah, you don't want to be rude.
So the amount of times when I hear my fake laugh, it's habitual. And then I hear myself and then I note how much more I hate myself in that moment than I did 5 minutes ago. But I can't stop it. I do it all the time. Like, when men are like, oh, I need someone with a sense of humor, I'm like, babe, I'm going to spin your fucking head. There is no way you're going to keep up with me. Not in this economy.
Just all of it is so bad. That's what I was thinking when she was laughing at Barnett's jokes. I was like, I mean, first of all, she wouldn't get Kurt's humor. Like, it would go so far over her head.
Mm-hmm.
That man makes me laugh all the time, so much, so hard, without trying. And it's not, it's never, he would never say like, girl has to laugh at my jokes. Like, it just, oh.
Is that why you chose him over me? We don't need to talk about it now, but just like.
I don't know how many times I have to tell you this. You need a bigger dick.
You know what? It's my fault because I brought it up. I just, you always were like, you're so funny. And like, and then you chose, sorry. You know what? I'm sorry. Editor, can you?
I am the editor.
JK, whoever's editing this section, don't edit that out. So now Diamond sits with Barnett. And Barnett, listen, I know you think he's not funny, but he's really got some gotchas here. He's got some zingers.
He sure does. Diamond introduces herself. Her name is Diamond. And what does Barnett say?
Oh, what strip club do you work at?
I'm just kidding.
That's a good one.
I'm sure she has never heard that before in her life. Oh, here's the thing about Diamond. She has an issue with her adenoids. She has to get those dealt with.
Checked out.
She is a professional basketball dancer from Illinois.
Okay. You know I have ADHD, right?
Uh-huh.
My eyes just saw professional basketball. And so then I wrote down professional basketball player. And so for like 6 minutes, I was like, that's so impressive.
Wow.
You know, we're popping around to little conversation bits. And then, honestly, this really fucking pissed me off. Amber is talking about her life to Carlton.
Uh-huh.
And then he lays down.
Rolls his eyes.
And pretends to sleep. And then he fucking leaves. I'm like, listen, a rule of thumb of life is
right.
You don't have to like people. You don't have to enjoy people.
Yeah.
You have to fucking respect people. Like, you signed up for this. I have talked to so many people that I'm like, you're not my kind of person. But like, that is bare minimum respect. I thought that was gross behavior.
Gnarly.
Yeah.
I mean, the editing made it really look like she was sort of going on and on and on about herself.
Yeah, he probably said, like, tell me a little bit about yourself or something.
Exactly. And also, Diamond was not having it. Diamond seems to be the only woman so far who's like, I got your number, Barnett. You're gross.
Mm-hmm.
So we go back to the quarters. The women are debriefing and we meet Kelly, who's 33. She's a health coach.
Mm-hmm.
She lets us know, you know, she used to be very shallow. She used to pick men based on the way they look, and it hasn't worked out for her. So now she's trying a new way.
If anyone says they haven't done that, they're lying.
Of course.
We've all done that.
And then back in the men's quarters, they're discussing virginity. And somebody asks, is anybody here a virgin? And we meet Taylor, 31, creative director.
Sure.
He is a virgin, and he tells us in a confessional that every girl grows up waiting for her Prince Charming.
You got me. You got me, Taylor.
I mean, how did he know?
Yeah, first of all, we dream of our weddings.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And then we dream of just that knight in shining armor.
He's going to rescue us from our boring lives.
Who would have thought one man on a TV show in one sentence would sum up the both of us at the same time?
I know. I was like, fuck, man. I missed my chance with Taylor.
Yeah.
One creative director. Carlton wants to know if sex is important before marriage. And one of the guys goes, that's a tough one. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's not.
No.
The answer is yes, it is important.
It is essential. It is vital.
You're not going to buy a car before you drive it.
Absolutely not. Throughout this show, I have had a couple of things come up lately about women talking about sex.
Uh-huh.
And because, you know, my least favorite, like, new term is sex positive.
Uh-huh.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Because they were like, let's think of a word that sort of in a secret way says that women like sex.
Mm.
Because we can't say we like sex or else we're sluts. But men love sex and all they do is want sex. And that's fine.
That's totally fine.
So let's think of a kitschy, sweet little word where we can say, like, sometimes this woman likes
sex. Sex positive.
Nah, bitch, you want to get fucked, okay? And that's perfectly fine.
Like, if we didn't want to fuck, there wouldn't be a human race. So
it all rests on our shoulders.
It absolutely does.
You and me.
Oh, us. We are repopulating the earth.
Yeah.
Please join our cult for $5 a month.
And then the girls are talking about whether or not size matters. That age-old question.
Mm. Is it the size of the boat or the motion in the ocean? This woman named Allie is very embarrassed about this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Very. Like, she can't handle it. And then I don't know which woman was saying, like, look, if you don't have a boat, there's no motion to begin with. And I was like, girl. Sing it.
Speak it. So it's day two, and Carlton from Louisiana is sitting with Diamond, and his first questions are, what are the things about me that stand out to you? Enough about me. What do you think about me?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, God.
It's a really great way to start. He was like, what did you write down in your book about me? Ugh.
I hate everyone. I'm quitting this podcast.
Yeah.
This was a good time, everyone.
We tried. We really tried.
Thanks for having me.
I just wrote, Jessica and Mark have a deep conversation. Oh, right. Is it about being Christian?
Yeah.
We're both scratching our heads. We both blacked out at that point.
Yeah. Well, Jessica's like, are you having a good night? I think that Mark was like, listen, we have great conversations, but we don't really go very deep. I think he was saying that as a confession. But then we're with Barnett. And he says something so adorable. He says how he really likes Jessica. That's fine. And then he says, but how is she single at 34? There must be something wrong with her, which is an adorable trope that if a woman isn't married in her 30s, there is something wrong with her because why wouldn't you want to get married? Honestly, Barnett, same question. I don't know how we share a brain on this one.
Yeah. Honestly, how old is he?
Barnett, I think, is 27 or 28.
All right. Well, I mean.
Yeah.
What about you, bro? He also says that Amber is scary.
Yeah.
Which I thought was.
It probably has something to do with the tanks, but he didn't mention it.
And also that she doesn't do the baby voice. And that is very scary.
Right.
A woman with a regular register voice is terrifying.
Intimidating as fuck. Yeah.
Yeah. Barnett tells Jessica that she is wife material. He says, when we get married, do we have to wait a year to start having kids to get to know each other even more?
Mm-hmm.
Even more than the, 2 months that you'll know each other before you get married on this show?
I usually stop around 2 or 3 months. I was like, I'm maxed out on you. No more information. Let's just, you know?
Yeah. Like, I know everything I could possibly know about you at this point.
Yeah, I probably know too much about you at this point. I'm going to need to, like, do some being John Malkovich shit, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Lobotomy. We meet LC. She's 26. She's a recruiter from Florida. Again, what is that?
She is also on the top of Barnett's list, which is a long one. His list is long.
Yes, and there are many people at the top. This is our first time meeting LC.
Right.
Is she the one you've got oh, your voice is great. Huh, thanks. Everyone's telling me that.
Now we're back with Cameron and Lauren. And Cameron is really looking forward to talking to Lauren. And they both kind of admit that they have strong connections with each other. And she asks Cameron the last time he cried. And we learn that his mother sadly has Parkinson's and he's very emotional about that. And they sort of bond over their families and they cry together.
I know, it's so sweet. And then we also find out another little layer of Cameron in this scene. And I'm sure when he said this, Ellen got so wet, she just slipped right off the couch. Not only is he a scientist, he's also a firefighter.
Oh, boy.
I mean, did you just...
No further questions, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not on purpose.
You can't help what you like.
I just want to be rescued.
Yeah, love is love.
Love is love, and I want to be rescued.
Yeah.
So Mark and Jessica are back, and they've decided they're going to get down and dirty, and they're going to ask each other the difficult questions, and they're going to have deep conversation, and she talks about their 10-year age difference for 118 minutes.
118 minutes.
What do you think about that age difference? Because it is 10 years, but it's 24 and 34, and I do think that age difference is relative because the older you get, the less sense it makes. You know, when someone is 44 and 54,
right,
or something like that. What do you think about 24 to 34?
Look, I met Kurt when I was like 29 and he was about to turn 40. And like, I think that was probably the first year in which that spread your first couple of years in which that spread would have been okay. I feel like if I'd met him when I was 24 and he was 35, I mean, I don't know.
I don't fault her for stopping. Listen, I date younger, but I fully know what I'm getting into. I'm also not looking for a life partner.
Yeah.
Because you have to remember, men, their frontal cortex doesn't fully form until they're 61. And men don't fully mature until after they die. So, you know, when you take all of that into account and into consideration, it's a lot to think about.
It is. You really do need to think about that because, you know, a man being 24 and a woman being 34, that is, it's like a 57-year spread.
Yeah. Anywhere between 57, I would say up to 66.
Yeah.
You know, like to be safe, just to give a sliding kind of scale. Sure. Yeah.
Then we find out that they're both Christians and they are gobsmacked.
Wait, what? You are Hold a on. Part of the largest demographic of religion. Wait, no. Get out.
I don't.
Get out.
What are the odds?
Christian.
Yeah.
Like how.
Like Jesus.
Like the whole world was like founded. Wait, like the whole country was founded and rooted in Christianity?
Yeah. Yeah, that is wild, man.
Ah, that's gonna...
Of all the religions.
Oh.
Wow, that feels like a God shot.
Yeah.
They both want 3 kids. She wants 2 boys and a girl. And he's like, okay, I could live with that. I'm like, do you know how this works?
Yeah. It's all fun and games until you have kids.
Yeah.
And you realize how hard kids are. And they are hard. More power to anyone who has a lot of kids. But... I love how you're just like picking and choosing. I'm gonna have 2 girls and a boy and a golden doodle.
9.5? Like, what? So now we go to the women's quarters and Jessica is processing about her connection with Mark. They're both Christian. It's unbelievable. He has a tattoo of a cross.
And no.
Two spots on it for his kids. His soon to be someday kids.
And Jessica is torn between Barnett and Mark. What is going to happen? We will have to see. But we go back to Cameron and Lauren. And guess what? They are smitten. They've been thinking about each other. They've been imagining what each other looks like. They're so precious. And then Lauren says to Cameron, I think I love you.
And he does not miss a beat.
Yeah.
He goes, I love you too. Like, I was like, okay, here's on my checking account number, my social security. Like, ugh.
For one moment, the world that is awful, devastating, sad, on fire, mm-hmm. all makes sense.
Yeah.
And then we go right back to the other thing.
Yeah. Although I do want to say he does have a pillow on his lap. Did you notice that?
Do you think he was hiding his stabones?
I think love makes him horny.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah
maybe he does have a bone diggity.
So then we dive right back into the dumpster fire mm-hmm. that is Carlton and Diamond. They're opening up a bit. Carlton says, my favorite thing.
I knew you were going to say that.
He says
Wait.
He wants to be loved unconditionally.
But yes. Does he say that? No. Before he says that, he says, what are your fears about marriage?
Oh.
I don't know. But I was like, in my mind, I'm like, the marriage part, you know, the forever part, the like.
Yeah.
Yeah. The your stuff is my stuff part. I don't know. Your man toes, maybe. Like, she just says what everyone says. Like, we're all scared to be vulnerable. I was like, you just wanted to skip over the man toes. We're not talking about the man toes on your leg in the morning. Okay, great. The unconditional love thing. It is. What is it? Is it saying I can fuck up and do what I want and you have to love me anyway?
To be honest, I don't know that people are really thinking it through, you know. I think if you said to him, like, okay, so you're gonna love your wife unconditionally, right? Yeah, I want a woman I can love unconditionally. So if she goes and fucks your brother and then like steals your mother's mm-hmm. kidney,
yeah, you're I said still unconditionally
gonna love her? Wait a minute. Well, you just said unconditionally.
And then he's got a confession.
Oh boy, they're opening up to each other. This would be the moment for Carlton to let Diamond know, you know, anything that she might want to know. But he decides not to tell her. And he tells us that he doesn't exactly say this. He says, in my life when I was younger, I have found myself interested in hearts, not parts.
He's bi or pan, whatever he wants. He didn't say that specifically, but now he doesn't want it. So you just turn that off. When you don't want it anymore, you turn it off.
For somebody who's bisexual, he has so much like internalized heteronormativity and homophobia, like serious homophobia and like.
But did you hear what he said a little while ago? Do you know where that all comes from? He was a preacher's kid.
Being a black man and you're not allowed to be sensitive.
He was a preacher's kid. From Louisiana. God. Yeah, no, you can't be gay, friend. Absolutely not. I mean, listen, no. I have some really hot takes on bisexual men. I'll save that for another time when I'm really, really prepared to get canceled.
Uh-huh.
It also should be said, let's really stereotype the shit out of it. Carlton's wearing like a bow tie. He's very sharply dressed. He's already said a couple of really misogynistic things. And then he's dealing with his own internalized homophobia that I do believe has roots in religion. I'm putting that on him, but this is what this is what we do. I have a microphone. Yeah. I'm allowed to do that. And not only was he raised in the church, he was a preacher's kid in the South.
He was not set up for success. A black preacher's kid from Louisiana who is honestly probably gay.
That's a
rocky road. It's a walky road. And it really, I'm like screaming at the TV at this point, like, dear God, please tell her right now. Then we're back in the quarters. Mark has a guitar on his back.
Does anyone know Wonderwall?
Listen, nothing makes me run faster away than a man with a guitar on his back.
Today is gonna be the day. Everybody, who knows the chorus? I'll take the top harmony. Gonna throw it back to you.
Nothing will make me glaze over faster. Nothing. Hey, let me play a couple songs I wrote. No! I did date somebody who we sat on their bed and they played some original songs and they were not good. And it was fucking torture. I think I ended up having sex with them just to like get them to stop playing guitar. Actually,
that was good.
I mean,
that
was a really good strategy. He gets very deep with Jessica. I don't remember what the fuck he's deep about. He's deep for him. And her response is,
I love that.
That's so cute. Oh my God, that's cute. I think he's just like, you know, I have a deep connection with you. I really love our conversations. You make me feel secure, blah, 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 blah. That's so cute.
Now we're back in the quarters and Barnett is talking to this guy, Rory, who we'll probably never see again. But it's actually very interesting because he's basically like, a lot of us are into the same people. I was like, again, did you not read that packet that they emailed you? Because you should have. But I think it's important because this is where I start to see the evolution of his insecurity. He's like, holy moly, like maybe I won't get a girl because I'm so funny and witty and basic and white and I have like semi-broad shoulders. Like it's all coming to him that like he might not get his way for what seems to be the first time in his life.
Yep. The gears are starting to turn on that bowling ball on top of the tree trunk that is his neck. So then we see Cameron in a suit, which, you know, back, I think when we first watched this, we were like, Jesus Christ, this happened really fast. But we have learned subsequently that proposals all happen on the last day. He asks Lauren, are you sitting or standing? She says, I'm sitting. He said, could you please stand up?
He says, can you approach the wall?
He gets down on one knee.
That's
can
so
you approach
cute.
The wall? On your list of things you did not think you'd ever have to say, can you please approach the wall? And he asks her to marry him in a very nice, traditional way. And she says yes. And it's very sweet. And you just want to, I want to wrap them up in a blanket.
So they're very adorable. We're going to come to love Cameron and Lauren. Spoiler alert. And if you know the spoiler, you know it. But you know what I thought about for the very first time, or maybe I thought about it and I never thought too deeply about it. Listen, patriarchal standards exist everywhere. everywhere we go. You notice it, you see mm-hmm. it, you realize it. But I was thinking back to the show, and of course I'm probably not remembering everything. And this show like reinforces so many stereotypes. But listen, I'm here for it. That's why we're here.
Yes.
In your memory, has a woman proposed to a man on this show?
Yes. It'll happen.
Okay, okay,
but
okay.
Only
I just can't
after
remember.
He's only after he's proposed to her.
Oh, I think yes. Okay, I remember what you're talking about.
Listen, Jordan just is on FaceTime. Just hold on 1 second. I'm gonna put you on mute.
Yep.
Hey.
Are you two best friends?
No. What? No. You're my best friend.
Okay, I just want to be clear that this your chemistry is unmatched thing uh-huh. Has me in a chokehold.
No, no.
I am sleeping at night.
Yeah.
I have known you since 2012.
Yeah.
I walked your baby around. I ate pesto off his forehead.
Yeah.
You helped me move out of my almost fiance's house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, no, it's no.
We have been doing the friendship shape since before we were born.
Daisy.
And I love Ellen. I want to kiss Ellen on her mouth.
Yeah.
I think she's very attractive. I wish she was gayer than she is.
Okay.
But I just need her to know.
Daisy.
I just need her to know.
What else?
You're on mute. I can't hear. You're on mute.
Okay, she's on mute. No, listen, relax. First of all, calm down. You're being hysterical.
Okay, thank you for telling me that. There's nothing I love more than that being told I'm being hysterical.
No, Ellen and I are just doing, like, this is just a money-making thing.
Oh, she's just like your coworker.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, this is like when Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson pretended to be in love for Twilight.
Exactly. It's a PR thing.
Kristen Stewart was actually gay. Okay, that makes me feel better.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes me feel better. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
I have to go finish this.
Oh, yeah, you're at work.
Yeah, but I'll call you after.
Like what time?
You know, like pretty soon.
Daisy, we have we need to get off the I can't hear you, but we have like 6 hours more of recording.
Yeah, we have about 6 hours more of recording.
So I'll talk to you I'll call you in about 18 minutes.
Okay, I'm gonna hang up now. She was just asking.
Was it?
It was Jordan.
You were on mute. I couldn't hear it.
She was just like, do you like Ellen more than me? Like, I'm so mad.
Did you tell her?
Yeah, no.
Did you tell her we're best friends?
Yeah, I did. I was like, no, Ellen is like, she's like funnier and like skinnier.
Your best friend.
And prettier and like, you know.
Did you say the word best friend?
Yeah, I was like, she's my best friend. She's like, like I said to Jordan, like, you and I are like friends, you know, but like Ellen and I are like the chemistry really is.
Was she sad?
Yeah, she was really sad.
Yeah. Did you tell her about the chemistry?
Yeah, she knew about the chemistry.
Oh, she knew.
Yeah.
Ugh. Oh my God, I'm sorry you have to go through that. But honestly, it's better that she knows now.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Oh my God,
What?
I thought I'd hung up.
Oh, Jordan heard that?
Yeah.
Oh God, okay.
Hold on, I'm gonna mute you for a second.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was telling her what she needs to hear because she's incredibly volatile and she'll start screaming if I'm not.
In here?
I just say that to her. She's pretty fat. Like, the last time I saw her, I was like,
you know, I'm into that.
Yeah. Well,
I like all.
She's been going through a lot lately and just eating a lot of cookies. Claire's cookies.
Claire's?
I think that's what they're called.
Cheryl's?
Cheryl's cookies.
Those cookies are
that
fucking
sounds like
bomb.
Something psychotic. I just wish she wasn't so hot. I'm so into her. Anyway, I gotta go.
Okay. Love you.
This is my favorite bit.
It's a good bit.
Okay, let's wrap this shit up.
Jessica and Barnett. Barnett is in turmoil because he knows that Jessica is, you know, talking to somebody else. Again, he missed the memo.
Barnett cannot fathom. He cannot wrap his head around the fact that this woman might possibly like someone better than him. He's just, he mm-hmm. can't comprehend. It's like, he short circuits.
How could it possibly be? And I hate to say this, and it's not like he says this explicitly, but I am sure that there is some like racism in there because he knows it's Mark. And I'm sure there's a part of Barnett that's like, what? Like, I'm a big white baseball guy. And that's like a little tiny Mexican guy.
And then Jessica is like, everybody likes you. Everybody wants to be with you. Even the military girl. I was like, ugh.
The military girl is going to kick my ass.
So then he's like, if there were no other guys here and no other girls here, I would propose to you. And I was like, so if you were just like the last two people on Earth?
If you were the last woman on Earth, I would totally bone you.
Right. And just the mere possibility of the idea of maybe getting rejected. He can't wrap his head around it.
He is a study in toxic masculinity, that guy. So then we see Cameron and Lauren. They're getting ready to meet each other. They're nervous. They're going to see the person they're spending the rest of their life with. They don't know, you know, what color they are, how tall they are, how pretty they are, all that stuff. She looks great. He looks great. It's so exciting. And I got to say, like, watching that for the first time.
They're adorable.
Are you fucking kidding me? Of course I'm going to watch the next episode. Like, just brilliant, brilliant television.
It is brilliant television for the trash-hearted and trash-minded people like us.
Yes.
But we're left on a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Because we already know that he proposed, but mm-hmm. he's actually going to put a ring on her finger. They're going to see each other for the first time. Yeah. And this is actually really exciting because this is the first time any of this is happening for us as the viewer.
Totally.
We're pretending. We know what happens. I mean, what's going to happen next?
Oh, boy. I'm so glad we're doing this. It's so exciting.
This has just become a very big priority in my life, this show.
Massive.
But that is it for episode one, season one.
Oh, wow. What a ride. What a technical ride on our end, and what a ride of an episode.
What a ride. We're going to go all the way. You and I are going all the way.
All the way. I'm so excited.
We are so happy if you're here because you heard us on season five or you're new and you're starting over. We so appreciate your support and we would love it if you would support our other projects on all our other platforms. Take it away, Daisy.
I have my paranormal / true crime show, Strange and Unexplained, that drops every Thursday. You can join the Patreon for Strange and Unexplained. You get 3 bonus episodes a month, plus ad-free, although honestly, my ads are pretty boss.
I actually love so many of our sponsors. Do you know every year I do like all of my Christmas shopping from our ads because of the deals and the discounts?
Oh, you do?
Like I sort of just pick one thing a year. Like this year I'm doing Miracle Made sheets and Blissy pillowcases.
Oh, that's cute.
I love a deal.
That's smart. I thought about getting my parents some Miracle Made sheets. And like they're literally like, please don't get us anything because we're going to die soon. Like,
yeah, that makes sense.
I'm like, oh, okay. Like literally that's what they say. They're like, we can't have more stuff because we're already figuring out who to give stuff to. And I'm like, guys, all right. So every time we hand them a gift, I'm like, I'm going to have to go through this in their house and decide where it goes. That's fun.
Sorry, I interrupted you because I got excited about coupons. Go on with your spiel.
And then I also have Dear Daisy, which is on my network with Amber Hunt and Amanda Rossman.
Do you mean this network that we're on right now?
That would be this network, Grab Bag Collab. For $5 a month, you cannot get a better deal. You can't even get a meal deal at McDonald's for $5 anymore.
I mean, number one, you know I love McDonald's. And also, it really is a great deal. And it's ad-free. Like, it's the best deal going.
You get so much content. And now I'm adding a live episode recording situation. It's so much fun. That was your idea.
I honestly love live recording. We do it with Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case for our top tier Patreon. And my friend Vicky is the one who suggested it. And it's honestly so fun. You can find me on my other podcasts on all platforms at I Think Not Pod or Rabia and Ellen. Don't forget, I spell my name with a Y. And if you feel like following my personal Instagram for all of the mishigas that I get up to, I am Ellen Marsh, and I spell my name with a Y still and again, and I don't know why. And of course, please engage with us on our Patreon page on Grab Bag Collab. We love hearing from you, hearing what you think of the episodes, and please send Daisy compliments. She needs it. It's like protein to her.
I need them.
And of course, Nick Lachey, if you're listening, shut the fuck up.
I love you so much, Ellen Marsh.
Until next time, love you.
Love you.